What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. So today's episode is probably from most of my conversations with Josh, might have been one of my favorite. It was really, really fun. We started talking about expert secrets and storytelling and how they work and attractive character profiles, which one you should be using and how they work and can you change them. And then also he started going into his concept of the master story, which is something I talk about in the Perfect Webinar, but he goes really, really deep in it. And anyway, we geeked out. This was a really fun episode. I hope you enjoy it. With that said, let me cue up the theme song and we get back. You have a chance to listen to this exciting conversation with me and Josh talking about story and attractive character and a bunch of other really cool things.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
I got to ask this. Are you not on Twitter? Like, I see you on Twitter a lot, and like, I see you're posting stuff on Twitter, but Is it not you that's engaging on Twitter?
No, I don't know how to tweet.
You don't know how to tweet?
I'm not
Russell, I tweet at you a lot. Oh. Or not a lot, but I tweet at you quite a bit.
Oh, hey.
And then sometimes you like my tweets.
I do like all your tweets. They're awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I enjoy Instagram probably my favorite, and then Facebook's probably number two. But that's the two social platforms I spend my personal time on the most. So if it's from either of those two platforms, it's usually me. If it's other places.
Do you have it like broken up? Like, are you like Instagram, I do this type of content and stuff on, and Facebook, I'd like do this type of content on, or is it kind of like a mixture of both? Or for you personally, I know your team posts stuff.
The only place I really post new stuff typically is Instagram, like stories. Like, that's where I kind of like me personally doing stuff. And then Facebook on my personal page, probably every once in a while, I drop stuff there and everything else.
It's rare.
Yeah.
Though. Not often.
Yeah.
You're not like me, who's like, what, it's been 48 hours without some form of controversy? What can I say? Oh, my God. All right. Well, actually, I kind of want to talk about that, though. Not so much controversy, but creating content specifically around storytelling. Because I think this is probably one of the biggest – let me give a backstory, a little context around this. I came into the world completely backwards of what most people do, right? So I was the guy that came into the world, and most people have no following and no followers, and they can't get leads to happen, right? And don't get anybody to show up to their webinar, and then they're super depressed because nobody showed up and nobody bought. I had the exact opposite problem. I had everybody show up and nobody bought. And let me tell you, that's way more depressing. You know why? Because when everybody shows up and nobody bots, you're like, crap, now I really am screwed because I have no idea what's going on, right?
And so, not the
right. It's not because nobody's hearing it, it's because I actually suck. And I remember the first time I ever did a webinar, I don't know if you remember this or not. I actually sent you a Snapchat. This is right when you first got Snapchat. This is way, way back in the day. I've told this story before. And I went and I was like, Russell, like, what's up, man? I'm trying to build this webinar. Like, how much would you charge me to build out a webinar for me or whatever, right? And you sent me a little video, a Snapchat video back. You're in the Jeep and you were like, man, I don't really do that. You know, I don't really do that anymore. So I like snap you back, and then you snap me back and you're like, it'd probably be like $250,000 or something like that. But I don't really do that. And I'm like, man, I really wish I would have hired you for 250 grand. But anyway, so I go and we do this huge webinar, and everyone told us, we're like, we're gonna have all these people sign up. And everyone's like, no, you're not. Like, nobody gets people to the webinar that easy. Like, you maybe have 100 registrants. Yeah. We had 2,000 people register.
Hey.
And we had 1,000 people. We maxed out the room. It was 1,000 people on live. At the pitch, there was like 982 people in the room. I go through, I do my pitch. No one bought. Not a single person. And then like we hung up, and like an hour goes by and one person had bought. And like most miserable,
almost
depressing.
Worse, because then you're like, crap, I thought there was no sound or something. Maybe they didn't hear me.
Right. Right. But like I sat there and, you know, it was a bad webinar. We had like dozens, probably hundreds of emails and comments of like, can I have my money back for a free webinar? This totally sucks. Like, worst experience ever. Like, it was awful, right? And what was interesting is that really scarred me for a while from doing presentations and from, you know, doing anything where I pitched live. And so I basically went and I just did sales from that point on. I did lots of presentations. I did lots of content, but I did not actually go and pitch because it was like PTSD almost, right? It was like, I don't want to go back there. And what was interesting is I went and I would do sales. And sales, like, I got good at sales, but, like, sales is hard, man. Like, sales is just a different game. It's just, like, pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing, right? Yeah. And then, like, my brother died. And out of just sheer not knowing what to do, I just started sharing my story. Because, like, at that point, you're like, what do you do? Like, my whole life is messed up at this point. I'm so confused. And so I just start sharing, like, what I was going through. And I start sharing, like, things of, like, the emotions and what I'm learning and, like, what I'm going through. And, like, I remember people just started buying. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, the weirdest thing because I wasn't selling anything, right? But I would go through and I'd be like, you know, I'm super grateful and thankful to have an audience right now because, like, you know, I'm, you know, able to go through and have a business that allows me to go and, like, be mobile and go to my brother's funeral or whatever. And then people started buying my programs. And I was like, what in the world? And then I would share other things. And then people would start buying. And I'm like, I'm not actually selling these things. I'm just talking about my life. And what was interesting is I went back eventually later that year and I went back to all these different people and I was like, why did you buy this product? And they're like, well, because you told such and such a story. Oh, that's interesting. And then I went over here and I was like, why did you buy that product? And they're like, well, you could have told such and such a story. It was a completely different story. And it was like they were buying because they would hear a story and they would associate my, like, that story with a product that I was selling and they would go buy it.
Yeah.
And so I had all these different products and all these different stories. And I was like, okay, well, I got to figure out, like, what's the one story that I want people to figure out, right? Like, and so I sell the one product. And so that's, like, what I've really been focused on recently. But, like, that lesson taught me that storytelling was everything. Because I had heard that from you a million times,
yeah,
right? Story, 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 right? And I'm like, I'm telling stories, Russell. What more do you want me to do? But I wasn't. I was telling facts. And I was trying, you know, going out there and trying to sound smart. And when I just let go of it all and was like, this is the story. Like, the real, the raw, the genuine. Like, I'm not trying to sell you anything. Like, this is legitimately what's going on in my life. I made more money, like, in more sales than I had before.
Yeah.
And so I would love for you to talk about, like, I know in Expert Seekers you go through of, like, storytelling and all the different, you know, the core four stories and the change of false beliefs. But, like, what's the key? And maybe that's it, like, going back, you know, through that, and that's fine. But, like, what's the key to telling a good story? Because I think not only do people, and there's a follow-up question to this, which I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but, like, what are the elements that make a good story? What actually makes a story work? And how do you tell one effectively?
Yeah. It's fascinating because, like, I went through a very similar journey when I got in this world, too. I remember going to my very first event. I saw people selling from stage and seeing the numbers and doing the math. And I was just like, this is crazy. There's no way this actually works. And then I remember getting invited to speak at a seminar. And it was different because webinars are painful. But, man, standing on stage and doing a pitch and then it bombing was even worse. Like, because it's just like, you see all people, nobody moved. And it was just like, in fact, I remember I was like, after the first one, I was like, I'll never do this again. That was the worst experience ever. And that's when I joined the Dan Kennedy world. And they had this public speaking course. It was like 40 CDs. I remember the pack was like this thick of CDs. And I bought it because I was like, I want to figure this thing out. I started listening to him. And I don't remember the course at all other than this feeling of just like, it's not teaching. Teaching is not what gets people to buy when you're on stage. It's telling these stories that connect with people. And it shifted my mindset. And so it shifted to the point where I went and tried again. And the next time I tried to weed these things in. And I got like six sales, $1,000 a piece. I was like, oh, okay. Like I got the reward of like, this actually worked. And then I was like, okay, do it again and do it again. And then you start getting obsessed with it. And then most of my education for the next 5 years, because there wasn't a lot of people that had courses on public speaking or things like that. There were a couple, but there wasn't a lot. Is I just went from a timeline – it was before the big 2000, whatever, the big crash 2008 or whatever. And so there were events happening every single weekend. So I'd go to an event every weekend and I would sit there and I would just watch the people speak and I would like watch what they were doing and then see how people would buy at the end. And the ones that had the big table rushes and stuff, I was like, okay, like what'd they just do? What'd they do to me? How did they do it? What'd they say? And I was like just trying to like dissect what they were doing. And I would model that for my presentations. I like how they did that part, or how they told the story, or how they got emotional. Or I started like just studying, you know, McCall Jones calls it charisma hacking. I didn't know that's what it was at the time, but I was just watching how they did stuff and how it made me feel. And it wasn't just like selling from stage. I started watching, you know, religion people as well. Like some of the best presenters in the world are preachers and pastors and things like that. And I was watching like just people speak and how they got me to feel and move and like how they told stories in a way that was exciting. And then, so that's like the study I started going on. And then I met Michael Haig. I started learning about story structure. I was like, oh, there's not like, this isn't just like made up. There's like actual structures and there's things in place. And like, this guy's way easier. Cause now I'm not just guessing there's actually a pathway. Anyway, so that's kind of my history with it too, but it's fascinating. But I think that like, if I was to break it down into like something for people to understand, that's not complex, but simple. Cause you can go to the Expert Seekers book and get really complex, but the simplest form is that if somebody's coming to you, it's because they're looking for something different, right? They want change. They want more. They want something. There's some result. And I always think about this like on a mountain. Like there's because Dan Kennedy used to talk about this. He's like, you need to become the guru on the mountain, and people are going to come to the base of the mountain, and the closer they get to you up the mountain, the more they're going to pay, right? So the base of the mountain, they're paying $100 a month for a newsletter, and then they want to get closer, they pay $500 a month, and $1,000 a month, and you know, for whatever, for $50,000, they can sit at your feet and talk to you. And like, he used to always talk about that guru on the mountain thing. And back when I was first studying this, the way people sold was different. It was much more like that, like, it was more of a status play. Like, this is how successful I am. You should come up here. And if you want to be like me, you gotta come to me, you know, pay me more money. And I never really resonated with that, partially because I'm awkward. And I always felt awkward, like positioning myself. Yeah. So like, I never liked that. And so I started learning about story structure. It was cool because I realized that like the positioning of you on the mountain, like it's essential, right? But it's not like you sell from the top of the mountain yelling down to the people. It's like people see you on the top of the mountain and they're down here like, I want to be up there. You're like, cool. And then it's you coming down off the mountain, running down to where they're at and being like, okay, I know exactly where you're at. Let me tell you. And they'll tell you my story of where, because I was in your same spot at one time, right? And that's the power. It's like, so if you look at the way I do my presentations, I usually drop for like one slide or one thing like, hey, this is the thing you want, right? Like, cool. I made, you know, whatever. Like, I'll do my quick posturing just so they know that I've been to the top of the mountain they're trying to get to. But then I don't stay there. And again, if you watch the old time speakers from the 90s and early 2000s, like they would spend the, you know, 90-minute presentation talking about them on top of the mountain the whole time, and I just hate it. So I drop real quick. So like, you know that I know I've been where we're trying to get to, but then I gotta come back very, very quickly. And the story I'm telling you is the story, my story of them, right? Like I have to put myself in their spot. Like, where was I when I went through the same thing? Because all of us, if you got to the top of the mountain somewhere, you had to like start hiking, and you went through that journey to get to be the guru on the top, right? And so it's like coming back and like remembering like where are they at, or where were you at, telling your story. And if you tell it in a way that they connect, like, oh my gosh, like I'm this, like this person, like they are me. Like I am, like I was Russell. Like Russell went through this. He understands, and there's empathy. Then they're like, then they trust you. Then they want to go on that journey with you. That's like when you came out, you start telling your story, right? And it wasn't you posturing and positioning how great you were, but it's like, hey, I've done this thing you're trying to figure out, but let me tell you my story and how I'm struggling, how I'm still struggling, and the struggles I went through, and the pain and the fear. And also they're like, oh, I feel that too. I feel the pain. I feel the fear. Like, I understand those things. This person understands me. Like, I can trust them to take me on this journey, because he's not going to be the person who's just positioning how great they are. It's someone who I have empathy with. They understand me. And that's the key. Because if they feel like you understand them, then they're going to go on that journey with you. And you do that by telling the story, like your version of their story, because they're living it right now, and you've lived it in the past. You got to tell that in a way where they connect, and now they're going to want to go on that journey with you. And that's kind of the key to it all.
That's super, super interesting. Yeah, because like when I think about story structure, because I've like tried to simplify things down in my own head, because it's always interesting, because like I'll watch everything that you do. And so funny, whenever I do presentations, people are like, you're a mini Russell. I'm like, well, that makes sense, actually, right? Like, I've watched all this stuff, right? So, but for me, man, going through Expert Secrets, I don't know, it's probably the third or fourth or maybe even fifth time through before I finally actually was like, oh yeah, you actually do know what you're talking about. Because every step of the way, I'd be like, but my story doesn't fit in. That doesn't work. Or like, mine doesn't have that. Or like, it's not that systematic. Or Russell, it's too much of a science. There's more of an art to it. And then I'd read about it, and I'd be like, this is so scientific. And then I'd watch you do it, and I'm like, that's so artistic. And I'm like, but they're the same. Right? And I would like, so I would try to figure out ways to like simplify it down so a way I can understand it. And then once I would understand it, I would plug it into yours, and then it would work. Right? And so for me, it was always like, okay, there's four parts. It's, how did I get here? Right? Backstory. That's backstory. Yeah. Like, how did I get to like right here, right now? That's like that. And then it's, where am I going? Right? So like, the goal, the desire. And then it's, how am I going to get there? There's a vehicle, new opportunity, right? Yep. And then it's, what's it going to look like? The vision, like what's it going to look like in the process of all that? So we can paint this thing, we get people emotionally attached. And so like for me in my brain, and they don't always happen in that sequential order. Like sometimes you start with the desire and then you go back. But it's like, it has to have all four of those parts. And then I would take that and I would go, and then I would apply it to the Expert Secrets. And then it would start working. Right? I was like, oh my gosh, that's what Russell's doing here and here and here. And then you actually had this whole like framework out about it, right? And I think one of the things for me is I would go, because we've done book clubs on Expert Secrets. I've got, you know, I teach stories in marketing. I teach stories in, you know, personal development. Like stories, And storytelling is like a big part of what I do now, especially over the last 6 months and moving forward. One of the questions that like continues to come up is, well, there's two parts. Let me start with the first one. Hey, Russell, but like that's all great, but I'm not a leader. I'm not the attractive character that's the leader, right? I'm not the person that figured it out and like am living my customer's journey. And there's actually a lot more of those people than I thought. I thought most people were leaders because that's what I was when I first got started. So my question is do you tell the story a different way, or how is the story different? How is it positioned differently if you're not the leader? Because I know you're not in your story. You're the reluctant hero, right? And so I tell people, I'm like, before you start figuring out your story, you got to figure out what attractive character you're going to be, right? And we go through the four inside of Expert Secrets. It's like there's the leader, there's the adventurer, there's the reporter, right? And then there's the reluctant hero. And what's interesting is early on in my journey, I was the hero, right? I was the one, I was like, guys, I was literally this broke kid freaking living in a $500 a month apartment, you know, with duct tape windows. And now I'm not, right? Like, and Instagram was a thing and social media and here we go, right? Yeah. But as I evolved, then like the podcast came, and without even realizing it, I became the reporter, yep. Right? And so like how does, based on your attractive character, how does that change the story or how you tell it?
Yeah, and it, you know, it's funny because mine's transformed not only just throughout time, but in different situations as well, right? Like sometimes I'm the attractive, you know, when I got started, same way, I was an interviewer, so I interview people. So I was a reporter for a long time, but then I transitioned to like a reluctant hero. But there's other times, like a Funnel Hacking Live, I'm not the reluctant hero, right? At that time, I've got to be the hero. Like, I'm coming in and I'm like setting authority because I've got a whole group of alphas in the room. And if I don't like come in there as the head alpha, like they will run me over. Like, it's, you know, like in a situation with Tony and Dean. Like, if I'm in that situation, I'm transitioning more back to reporter because like I'm leveraging Tony's expertise and things like that. And so, like, I'm coming back as a reporter. Same thing, Dan Kennedy right now. Like, you look at it's fascinating. Like, we just bought Dan Kennedy's company, right? We just launched the first Dan Kennedy new offer. By the way, if you're listening, go to nobsletter.com and go sign up. But
but make sure you go through my link.
But look at like how I've like, yeah, it's /Josh40. Yeah.
As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, a billion members, 180 million senior level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you got to do is go to linkedin.com/clicks, C-L-I-C-K-S, to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taken the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This Is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show.
Yeah. If you look at like how I positioned this offer, right, it's not me coming as like Russell's the alpha. Right, I'm coming back in as like, this is my mentor, boom. And like, I had this chance to acquire it, but I'm gonna go through 40 years of his stuff and I'm bringing it back to you. And I'm like, and I'm pulling these things out. And this is what I learned from Dan and what I learned from Dan here, right? And it's me coming back like in a reporter role with my mentor, and that's how I'm introducing the world to him. So like, it shifts, right? It shifts based on the story and the situation, like what are you using it for, right? Like I could have came in and be like, because there's different posturing. Like I could have came in and been the hero and like, I bought Dan's company, we're bringing it back from the dead, da, 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 and like put it on me, but like, that story, first off, didn't feel good. But second off, it's like, it's not the story I think is going to get people to move. The story is going to get people to move is like, is me giving homage to this guy who's changed my life. And now I'm going to have a chance to bring these things back to you. Like, and like that, you know, me becoming the reporter back in that phase and that business and that side is a more powerful, it's a more powerful story to use. Right. And so it's all coming down to like figuring out what's going to be the best story, right, in this situation, like, and where you're at and thinking through that. Because, you know, right now you're in a reporter role, but other times I still see you shift back over where you're running different things. And so it's just trying to figure out like what's, again, these are all tools. I was talking to the two Combo Club X members this week, and, you know, we have part of the group's doing challenges, part of doing webinars, part of doing different things. And they're like, which one should I do? Which one's the best? I'm like, no, it's not which one's best. These are tools. Like, this is a hammer. This is a saw, and different jobs and different tools. And so it's like, if I'm coming in here, I want a hammer, but over here, I want a saw, and here I want a hammer and a saw, cause I'm gonna do this thing. Right. And same thing with stories, understanding that like your attractive character can shift. And mine's shifted more throughout time, but also situationally it shifts where it's like, hey, this is the role I need to be here. And it's okay to like to shift back to reporter. I've seen people, in fact, well, can I drop names? Yeah, who cares? So like Grant Cardone's a good example. Like I love Grant. Grant is like the leader, right? And at 10X, after I, you know, we set all these sales records, Grant was gonna shift to the interview, and he was gonna interview me. And it would have been a really fascinating thing for him to pick my brain and ask. And we sat down, we got in the thing, and he sat there for a second. And also he was like, he didn't want to, he thought it was like shifting to the interviewer was a decrease in status. And he literally stopped before he started, said, actually, I don't want to interview. I'm going to have someone else do it. He got off the little thing, had someone else come, and that person interviewed me. And I was like, ah, dang it. Like, it would have been so powerful for him.
Come on, Grant.
It would have been so powerful for him positioning, for people to like, to connect with him better. If he would have come off like the I'm Grant Cardone, you know, trade, come down for a second and done the reporter and been excited, because he genuinely was excited. He backstage was freaking out. He's like, I've never seen what you just did. That was amazing. Like, it was this cool thing. And like, it humanized him for a minute, and he could have had that moment where he did it and he didn't. Whereas like me right now with Kennedy, like I'm paying all homage to Dan. He's amazing. And it first off makes the offer better, makes the story better, but it also makes me more people connect. Cause now it's like, they're the same thing. Like, oh my gosh, like I have mentors and I can be excited about what they're learning. I don't have to posture all the time where it's, I'm the only person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's super interesting that you say that, because studying influencers has been something that I've kind of geeked out about. And like, when you talk about, one of the things you talk about in there in Expert Secrets or whatever is the attractive character has flaws, uh-huh. Right? And when the attractive character owns those flaws, it actually makes their like supporters love them more. And what's interesting is that I've looked at people like Trump, and we're not trying to get political here in any way, shape, or form, but like one of the big criticisms of Trump, even from his own people, and I being one of those, yep, is like he never admits when he's wrong. He never will step down and like even give the idea that somebody else could be right. And because of that, that actually hurts him a lot more in the long run than in the short, you know, like than it gains him in the short term. Right. And so it's that same concept. And then I look at like someone like a Dave Portnoy. Right. And do you follow Dave at all? Dave Portnoy. OK, so he's the founder of Barstool Sports. Oh, okay. And he's the one that did the Barstool Fund, yeah, and everything like that. Or whatever. Here's a dude who like, I mean, his fan base is like not as large as Trump's, but like as far as like fans, like people love Portnoy. Right. Like, I mean, there's this, but he makes fun of himself constantly. Right. And he's constantly coming back and like being like, yeah, I messed up. All of his bets are, you know, public, because he owns like a gambling, you know, sports betting company. So like you go to his Twitter and it's nothing but all of his wins and then all of his losses. Right. And so you can see both, and people just love it. And anytime like people are trying to bash up on him, like all of his supporters come and they're like, yeah, we know he's an idiot. Right. Like but he's amazing idiot. Blah, blah, yeah. Right. And so it's like when you show those, that other side, like people connect to you even better. And it's such a fascinating concept, because it's opposite of what our brains think. Yep. You know what I mean?
100%. It's counterintuitive. Like, we want to always posture and position thinking that's the – it's just like the guru on the mountain we talked about, right? Like in the 80s and 90s, every expert wanted to be the person, the infallible expert up here at the top. But, man, that's not what gets people to connect. It's the coming down and, like, dude, I struggle too. Like, I remember the pain. I remember the pressure, the fear, the scare, like all those things. And that's what connects people. Like, people create connection now, where maybe there was a time in history people just wanted the other thing, but nowadays it's not that way. People connect with vulnerability, hard. It's scary, because it's like, in fact, Natalie Hotz, I think she quoted Brene Brown, but she's the one that told me that. She's like, She's like, when you're vulnerable, you feel small, but when people looking at you, it makes you feel big to them. It's just a weird thing. We're like, I feel horrible, but it makes them look at you and like, oh my gosh, this person's willing to do these things, willing to say things I'm thinking in my head that I don't dare to talk about because of my own fear and anxiety and status and all those kind of things. And it gives them that thing. And that's what gets people to connect with you. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Last piece on this, which will take up the rest of the time for sure, is the number one question that I get hands down when it comes to stories. I'm sure you've heard this a million times, but in the odd case that you haven't, Russell, your people want to know this, okay? The number one question is, how do I know which story to tell?
Ooh, it's good.
Right? Like, it's the hardest thing because people are like, and it's always hilarious because I'll sit down and I'll be like, well, what story are you trying to tell? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, here's your life story. And I will tell them because I'm like their coach. And I'm like, you know, been around them for 6 weeks or whatever it is. And I'll go, here's your story. Boom, boom, boom. And I'll summarize their entire life in 30 seconds. And they're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, because it like, well, anyway, I want to know the answer to their question. How do you know what story to tell? Yeah. Because everybody they have these, we're so close. Right. And for me, I'm about to turn 28, right? My 28th birthday, doing a big birthday bash. Russell's coming on. It's going to be great. We're going to launch a new podcast. It's going to be so cool. Yeah. Right. But it's like, I got 28 years worth of experiences. How do I know what to tell?
Yeah. It's fascinating. When I wrote the first version of The Expert's Secrets, I didn't know that was the question people had. I didn't even know how to answer. It never crossed my mind. And anyway, I wrote the second version of The Expert's Secrets and I'd seen it. So I'd updated it, but no one ever commented it. And it wasn't until you came to the most recent fat event I did, right? The expert one? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Not the e-com one, but the expert one.
Yeah. So the first time I shared that publicly was at that event. And I remember it was fascinating to me because Steven Larson is probably one of the people that have studied me the most. And he like raised his hands like, oh my gosh. He's like, I finally understand what story I'm supposed to tell. And I was coming from Steven who like, I was like, interesting. So this is the problem I think that, and I always tell people, like, tell your backstory, tell the origin story. So they're like, okay, so I was born in Provo, Utah, March 8th, 1980. It was a cold night. And they go back to there, right? Like, story. Because I tell them, like, tell your origin story. And it wasn't until at that event, again, I'm pretty sure in the second version, the hardbound version of .com Secrets is in there. But it was that event where I really said, the story you're telling is not like your origin story. It's your origin story of how you came upon or created or figured out your framework. It's your interaction with the framework you're sharing. That's the key, right? So like when I'm talking about the perfect webinar, for example, the origin story I'm telling is not my origin story. It's my origin story discovering this framework. So for example, like I went to Armin Warren's event and I saw people speaking on stage. I did the math and then I spoke on stage. I looked like an idiot and I went back home and then I bought Dan Kennedy's course. I realized it was wrong and then I went through the thing. And so it's that story it's how I learned or I earned this framework. Like how did I come up with that? What was the things I went through to like discover this gem that I'm bringing now from the top of the mountain down to them saying like, this is the thing I found out. And this is the story about how I found it. Let me share it with you. And they're like, ooh, I want that gem. I want that gold nugget. And then they come with you on the journey to go and get that with you. So that's the most simple way I've figured out how to explain. I'm curious on your side because you've explained versions of this as well. Like, would you add that or change it or what are kind of your thoughts on it?
Well, so let me start by telling you the biggest struggle that I had. Like, I'm talking like for over a year of reading Expert Secrets, I struggled with one specific thing that I could not figure out. And it was like the question that I wanted to ask you for the longest time. And then like right before we got on interviews, I figured it out. I was like, oh my gosh. But it was, I didn't understand the difference between the backstory and secret number one.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like, to me, I'm like, first you discover funnels and then you teach them the framework for funnels. It's the same thing. But then you would say they're different. Uh-huh. And I'm like, how, right? Like, I don't understand how, like the difference between those two things. Now, at first I didn't understand it at all. And then my kind of my first epiphany or my first breakthrough was, oh, wait. First, the backstory introduces the thing. And then secret number one has the framework for the thing, right? And so like, then that was like kind of my first realization of like, okay, these are separate. It's one, it's the thing, and then the framework for the thing. But then I would look at your webinar and I would go, Russell, what's your framework? Like, what's the framework to build a funnel? Mm-hmm. I'm like, it's hook, story, offer. That's what I thought, right? I'm like, it's that's how in order to build a good funnel, it's hook, story, offer. And then I was like, well, maybe that's not the framework. Maybe it's add all the upsells and break the beliefs and then go through. And I was like, but no matter what it was never like the framework for building a successful funnel was never to go and like model somebody else's funnel and then build all the up. I'm like, that's not a, like, that's a thing. That's not the parts of a funnel. Right. And so I got confused because I thought the framework that I was supposed to teach in secret number one was the parts of the thing, mm-hmm. not the framework for how to build the thing. Right. And so I think one of the biggest aha moments for me is like each part of the webinar that you're doing is its own separate section. And like they build off of one another, but they're also each standalone. Yeah. Right. And so I thought that the backstory or that the story that I told in the backstory was the story through the entire webinar. Oh, and it's not. Right. And so like I was like, whenever I would hear you say, well, tell the backstory about how you learned it and how you earned it, I thought it was like that was the story for the webinar. And then I had to go through and tell each thing. And when I realized that there's a separate story for each thing, right? There's a separate story for the backstory. And by the time you're done with the backstory, and this is how I think it was you that said it. I go back and forth. I really like how Dan Henry explains some of the things, specifically when selling courses. Because that was the other problem was you were selling a software, and I was like, well, what happens if I'm not selling a software? Oh, crap. Like, where does it fit in, right? But, like, I think it was you that said, by the time you're done with the backstory, there's a percentage of your people that are ready to buy. And I'm like, whoa. That's the story that I've got to figure out. And so for me, I was like, what is the story that I have to tell that if I were not allowed to tell secret one, secret two, or secret three, people just took me at my word that what I said was the solution to their problem, what's that story that I have to tell that people would go and buy? And like I became obsessed with that. And that's what I call a master story. Because I'm like, to me, and that's why I was, you know, telling you like we're geeking out about it. I'm like, to me, once I figure out that, and I've gone through and taught all these, you know, students of like how to teach stories, if I focus all of my time on the three secrets, we never get anywhere. Like literally, like it's ridiculous. We'll spend so much time and then they'll do the presentation and it won't work. But if I spend 80% of my time on just the backstory and we get that right, they basically figure out the other three secrets like that. And I spend like 20% of my time in the other three secrets.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because I spend most of my time doing the three secrets because that's where people get stuck on my side. But it's man, the way you frame that is really cool. Because I just think about there's different markets I go after, right? So if I'm going after like a beginner market, my first thing is telling the potato gun story. Because it's like, I had a potato gun, we had an upsell. And for beginners, like.
Which 100%, by the way, 100% of I've done the last like 3 months I've been doing sales calls like crazy. Uh-huh. Whenever I mention the master story, I go, hey guys, do you know Russell? They're like, what's the master story? I'm like, do you know who Russell Brunson is? They're like, yeah. I'm like, do you know the potato gun story? 100% of the people say yes. Every single time. There's not been a single person. I'm like, that's his master story when it comes to funnels. So anyway.
That's that audience. But it's interesting because like I have a different master story if I'm going over like a more advanced audience, which is the master story of no VCs, right? So it's like, excuse me. Like we're competing against Infusionsoft and all these things. They had $100 million of funding. We didn't have any money. We were broke. And so we put this thing together and da, da, da. And then like now we get customers for free and then they buy software. And like that master story is what sells it to more of like the corporate-y, like the business owners who think through the world of like investing. It's like that story that I lead. If I talk about potato guns with them, they're lost, right? So again, it's like, people are like, but I only have a story. It's like, no, you have different stories. Like, what are the stories that fit the audience? Like Dan Kennedy 101, is message to market match. Like, how do you connect these things, right? It's like, okay, here's the market I'm talking to. In fact, I think you know this. We bought Doodly.com and Voom, and we bought like Brad Cowan's whole company. And these people, I didn't realize at the time, I thought they were internet marketers using software to make sales videos. But no, they're actually course creators who don't know anything about marketing. And so I went and did my webinar pitch to these people and it bombed. It was like the worst thing ever. And I was like, what? And it was like, oh my gosh, I didn't understand the market. And so I had to change. So we rewrote it, changed the story, changed the thing to match the market we were going after. And now it's converting really well. But it was like, it's just understanding that like in every situation, like figuring out, okay, who am I actually speaking to? So there's the market and what's the message, the story, the thing I have that's going to match that to then bring them into our world. Because I'm selling the same product no matter what, but there's different story that's going to hit different markets as you go through. You'll probably hear me quote a lot more Dan Kennedy in the near future as I'm going through all of his courses again right now and having the time of my life with it. So,
Yeah, well, it's just interesting, just going back to that one concept of, like, the first core story, right? The master story, the backstory of it all. I think one of the big problems that I know I ran into this is, once again, I thought the whole webinar was designed to, like, teach and educate. When that's when I would introduce and teach the whole entire process. But it's like, it's not. Like, secret one, secret two, secret three are designed to educate on the thing that you introduced in the backstory, right? And I for me, with the people I worked with, you know, on a pretty consistent basis, it's like they don't understand that either. And so when I go in and I'm like, no, forget about teaching them about it. Like, you have to teach them what it is, why it's so important. And I always go back to that story when you were like, you know, no one was buying it. And then you're like, do you understand, like, how what I went through today? I'm like, that, like, guys, that's what you're trying to create. It's like, forget the framework for it. Forget how it works. Forget why it worked for them. Forget the external objections for a second or whatever. Like, what do you have to do that, like, for if you didn't get to do anything like that, how would you convince somebody that this is, like, the most greatest, amazing thing, and then be like, and just take my word for it, that's going to work for you? Like, what's that story that you would tell? And, like, for me, once I identified that that was what it was, and I started working on my students with that, all the rest of the webinars and five-day challenges and everything became easy. Whether it was Catherine Jones when we worked with her, whether it was Brad Gibb in Cashflow Tactics, whether, like, all of them, it was like, once we figured out that, then all the rest of the things fell into place.
Yeah. It's fascinating because, like I always – that was the reason why I bombed when I first started versus when I started studying Dan stuff is that realization of just, like, they haven't bought into the fact that they want a funnel yet or that they want weight loss or whatever the thing is. Like, your only goal during the webinar or the challenge or whatever is to convince them that this is the vehicle that's going to be the most likely success for them to get up on that mountain and get the result that they're looking for. Because they've been looking for the result – For a long time, right? I think Kaylin said the average woman goes on eight diets a year, right? So it's like, not that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose weight. Like, it's not like this, oh my gosh, I'm going to make money. Oh my gosh, I'm going to, like, they already want the result. They try three or four other things. You're trying to convince them, your presentation or your challenge or whatever, is convince them that of all the different potential opportunities, that your new opportunity is the one that's most likely to get them success. And if they buy into that, then you can take them on the journey. But, like, you know, you start teaching out of the gate, you're trying to take them on this journey. They're like, wait, but there's like 10 other options. Like, well, I don't think you're the right, I don't even know if you're the right option. I have no idea. Like, so your job and your role is 100% only there to convince them that this is the most likely thing that's going to give them the success they're looking for. And if you do that, then you won. Like, that's the, then you can bring them into your world. Now you can serve them. Now you can change their life. But until you've sold them on the fact that your vehicle is the one that's most likely to give them success, you can't serve them. You can't change their life. You can't do anything. And so that's what we got to become really good at, is that transition. So anyway, so fun.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up the story episode there. I think that was really, really good. I think we got a lot accomplished there.
We should go another time, next time you're in Boise, we should do like a half day live with everybody on like the master story. That'd be fascinating to go deeper just on that without the context of having to have all the rest of the webinar things. I'd love to geek out with you deeper on that. So there's the thought. If you guys want more of that, you got to let me and Josh know. And maybe next time around some UFC fight or some fake YouTube boxing fight, we'll plan some fun like that.
That fake YouTube boxer fight, that's 5-0, right? Oh, man. All right.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for listening. If you enjoyed this, please let us know. Tag us on social. Tweet us out. Instagram us. YouTube, I don't know, all the different places.
Don't tweet us. Russell won't tweet at you. He'll just fake like your tweets. Instagram.
Tweet at Josh, and then Facebook. I'll share it.
Yeah.
My team will share it. Yeah, but let us know. We're enjoying doing these, and hopefully you guys love them as well. And the last way, if you want to help grow this podcast, please just help other people about it. And yeah, that's all I got. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Josh. Thank you for listening to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. If you've loved this episode, then please take a screenshot on your phone and post it to Facebook, Instagram, or wherever you post stuff, and be sure to tag me and let me know why you like this episode and what you'd like to hear in the future. That'll help me to know what to create for you. Also, Dan Kenny and I would love to give you the most incredible free gift ever, designed to help you make maximum money in minimum time. And this free gift comes with almost $20,000 worth of pure money-making information for free, just for saying maybe. You can get this gift from Dan and from me right now at nobsletter.com. Not only are you going to get the $20,000 gift, you're also going to get a subscription to two marketing newsletters that will be hand-delivered by the mailman to your mailbox each and every month, one from Dan Kennedy and one from me. To get this gift and your subscription, go to nobsletter.com right now.